Very fucking unprofessional.
When we're in the dark and we're all alone, oh darling.
Unprofessional as fuck podcast.
Yeah. Better late than never, right? Hope everybody's feeling good. I most certainly am. This is without a shadow of a doubt. The talk of the town, what your town is talking about. Unprofessional as fuck with your host Ruck. And this is Sports Show episode number 19. Shit smooth, right? Shout out to brother Shiny Ball, man, put me on. Got me working with this Logic program. Gave me the dynamic duo, cheat codes. Got me over here trying to cook up little instrumentals and whatnot. Let me know what y'all think. In the meantime, in between time, finally getting to these sports topics at hand. Now, as time kept going on, I was like, fuck. Felt like, you know, I'm missing it. Something just dropped. I gotta go, you know, talk about it. Then another story would happen. This quarterback goes there, this running back goes there. Sports games, you know, going crazy. Had a couple of buzzer beaters the other day. We'll talk about it all. Really though, hats off to those gentlemen on the sports, you know, sports networks that just continue to be minute by minute as far as this free agency is concerned. I don't know, you know, maybe this year more than ever I've kind of been tapped into it trying to keep up. But there was a man, let's talk about it, man. Hold on. There was a story going out about Adam Schefter. For those of y'all who are unfamiliar, casual, you know, sports fans, Adam Schefter is a guy who does a lot of the NFL coverage as far as, you know, free agency moves, contracts, players here and there. Covers a lot of things, right? Like top to bottom. But when you look for this type of shit, free agency, you know, people on the move, he's the guy. Same way that you would look at, like, maybe a Mel Kiper for the draft or, you know, whoever else is there. I can't remember the other guy's name. They were showing this guy's screen time as far as, you know, right at the opening of fucking free agency, and they said that he was over, like, 14 hours of screen time. Now, that shit is insane. But I 100% get it now, you know what I mean? I was putting off taking the notes for this because I'm like, man, every time I'm writing something down, something else happens. Like, how could you possibly keep up? And the truth of the matter is, unless you're getting paid to do that and that only, you really can't. So rather than, you know, sit here and try to rack my brain and go through a million pages of notes, I'm just going to shoot the shit with y'all, you know what I mean? We might not get every little story, and I might not know every player that went everywhere, but the ones that matter, at least to me and what I think may matter to you, we'll cover. So let's get to it, man. There's a lot of teams right now who are getting discussed for as far as, you know, how active they've been. Some teams are being discussed for how dormant they've been. When we talk about dormant, we talk about the Dallas Cowboys, the dormant Dallas Cowboys. What the feezy? The only news you're hearing out of there is Dak Prescott. I'm not fully versed on what's going on there. As soon as I do get fully versed on it, I will come back with an opinion. But as far as right now, it seems like Dak is taking another blitz, you know, suffering another sack. And this time in the court of public opinion and possibly in the courts as well, allegations coming around, circling around this guy, investigations going in on him. When I get the details, I will let y'all know. They are floating out around there. The story isn't breaking news, so I'm sure somebody's covered it by now. Just hasn't really fallen, you know, into my lap as far as something that I'm prioritizing right now. What I do want to do is look at these team by team analysis as far as free agency is concerned. The Bears have been very busy. Expected or not, you know, everybody was swirling around what's going to happen with Justin Fields, right? To me, I was like, you know, is Justin Fields coming to the Raiders? That was a speculation for a good portion of time. Then you see other moves being made. We'll get to the Raiders move shortly. But Justin Fields was looking like he was going to be primed to stay in Chicago as far as weapons that were being brought over there. Off the top of my head right now, I could just think of Keenan Allen, which I am shocked is no longer a Los Angeles Charger. As a guy who had drafted him last year for the Fantasy Football League, I just continued to get production out of him until, you know, of course, the playoffs when it mattered the most. My guy sat out. But that also had a lot to do with the quarterback play there due to injuries as well as just where they were at playoff seed-wise. You know, pretty far from reaching any type of contending position. So what's the point, right? Keenan Allen suffered an injury. Really didn't make sense to bring him back in and risk not only his future playing time, but also his draft, you know, value. Excuse me, not draft value, trade value as they eventually exercise. So that makes sense now in hindsight, right? Keenan Allen now a wide receiver for the Chicago Bears. What did shock me is that didn't mean that Justin Fields was going to stick around. Justin Fields, obviously, you know, he showed glimpses last season of having what it took. A lot of inconsistency on that offense. That's what kind of has me taking the fact that we got their offensive coordinator now with the grain of salt. Obviously, you know, you could point at maybe a running game over there was absent. But we'll get to also why this, you know, running game of the Raiders is now a little bit shaken up and depleted with the departure of Josh Jacobs, which we'll talk about in volume soon. But you get a Keenan Allen over there. Now, aside from just the Bears in general, I want to go down team by team and just, you know, the biggest free agent signing thus far. As far as Arizona Cardinals are concerned, we know Desmond Ridder goes over there from Atlanta, but still the signing of defensive tackle Justin Jones seems to be what everybody's talking about. 3-year deal to 4 defensive players, all of whom probably will start in the defense of 2024. Jones being the biggest move. $31 million over 3 seasons is a big deal, definitely. Guy came off of a career-high 4.5 sacks. I don't know if that's the production that you would look at as far as, you know, being that worthy of that type of money, but we will see how he translates over to this Cardinals defense. The Falcons obviously signed a cornerback, Kirk Cousins, amongst other moves that they have made, definitely shaking things up. Kirk Cousins now is expected to go over there, win the South, and eventually, you know, get himself into the playoffs and hopefully make a push if you are a Falcons fan, but we'll see. I mean, he has some weapons over there in Minnesota, wasn't able to get things done. Baltimore Ravens shaking up the world. Running back Derrick Henry. What the feezy? Released from Tennessee Titans. You know, that's a guy you thought you would forever see there. Now he's become a member of the Baltimore Ravens. Are you kidding me? Along with Lamar Jackson, the offensive weapons that they got over there. It's going to be a messy, messy offense to deal with. And on top of, you know, that defense that muddies the games up on their own, you know, in their own right. So it's going to be interesting to see. AFC is definitely getting power positions moved around. The Buffalo Bills, they've lost some pieces, a good amount of people. But they do sign wide receiver Curtis Samuel, comes over from the Commanders. That guy was productive at all times. Then you're talking about adding him to a Buffalo offense that's led by Josh Allen. They added some backup help, if you want to call it that, with Mitchell Trubisky, I believe, who went over there. I hope he doesn't see any playing time because you want to keep Josh Allen healthy. But now the addition of Curtis Samuel, I don't know if that's going to be enough to get them over the hump. You know, they were one kick away, Tyler Bass, from propelling them past the Chiefs, who eventually went on to win 2 championships in a row. It's a shame. I don't know if they're going to be in that position again. Carolina Panthers, they double dip with Robert Hunt and Damian Lewis at guard, trying to add some help over there. You know, they're going to need help. Bryce Young looked like the biggest bust in the draft last year. Whoever had the opportunity to pick C.J. Stroud and went the Bryce Young route, it's definitely got to be kicking themselves in the head right now if they do have a job still. Be interesting to see. But now they're, you know, trying to buffer up that line and give them the opportunity to, you know, create more offense and get things done. We talked about the Bears, Justin Fields, definitely their biggest signing. They've also added pieces over there. They're going to give this guy an opportunity. Now you're talking about the number one pick for Chicago. I know we talked about, you know, Caleb Williams, maybe the move. We'll see. Cincinnati Bengals sign Sheldon Rankins, defensive lineman, comes over from the Texans. If that's your biggest move in free agency, you're in trouble. Hopefully Joe Burrow can stay healthy and produce the way we're used to him doing his thing. Cleveland Browns get wide receiver Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy comes over from Denver, where a lot of speculation, you know, we covered it in volume. This is the back and forth with him and Steve Smith, former Carolina Panther wide receiver. When he called him a Jag, just another guy, said that he'd be moved on from pretty soon and get traded, and that's exactly what happened. So now you got to look at Steve Smith as Nostradamus and Jerry Jeudy as a Jag who plays for the Browns. Dallas Cowboys, they re-signed the cornerback Jordan Lewis. But as far as anything else, they've been pretty damn quiet. If that's your, again, if that's your big move, trouble ahead. Of course, we talked about Sean Payton, the way that he treated Russell Wilson, getting that guy out of the door. Definitely gave up a whole lot to get back very few things in return. Very short stint. Definitely horrible to see what happened over there if you're anybody but a Raider fan, because I could give a fuck. Keep fucking up over there. I don't know who they added to help out. I think I saw Drew Locke or something along that lines. Good luck with all that. Detroit Lions traded for cornerback Carlton Davis, who comes over from Tampa Bay. Not too familiar with the guy. Don't hold that against me. Maybe he's doing his thing. But the Lions, you know, they seem to be right there. Just need a little bit of help. If that's it, hopefully. I don't know if that's the case. The Packers, they signed safety Xavier McKinney from the Giants, as well as acquiring the talents of Josh Jacobs, former Raider running back. What the feezy? Writing was kind of on the wall, right, when they wouldn't give the guy the contract that he wanted when he wanted it, and now it gets to the point to where he's no longer a Raider. Can't hold that against him. It wasn't really all in his, you know, in his power. He wasn't the guy making all these decisions, but Tom Telesco, as his first move, allows that guy to go. And maybe not his first move. We'll talk about some other moves he's done lately and see where that ranks and how we feel about it as a, you know, as a whole in totality. But as of now, it is what it is, man. Houston Texans signing defensive end Danielle Hunter. Comes over from the Vikings, a big name. This guy's going to be able to help things out. You know that you got C.J. Stroud over there. That's a guy that everybody's looking forward to seeing what he's able to do as time goes on. Add some defensive help here. Hopefully keep the other guys on the other side, you know, off the field and keep that ball in the hand of C.J. Stroud and see what he's able to do. The Colts re-signed Michael Pittman Jr. Felt like the writing was on the wall there. You cannot let that guy get away with the production that he's been having for the Colts. Along with that, Zaire Franklin also re-signs. Big name, you know, big money. Shouts to the Colts doing what they got to do. The Jags, they bring over defensive tackle Eric Armstead. He comes over from the Niners. We all talked about how you're not going to be able to hold on to these guys, you know, with all the money that the Niners were spending. They also lose Calvin Ridley, who moves on and becomes a Tennessee Titan. But, hey, you can't keep everybody. The money's going to, you know, go where it goes. Kansas City adds wide receiver help in the form of Marquise Hollywood Brown. Now, we know their wide receiver core was a big part of why they weren't looking like the Chiefs last year. Any team loses a Tyreek Hill, you got to expect there to be some type of hiccups along the way. But did we expect them to look as bad as they did as far as wide receivers are concerned? Definitely not. See if Hollywood can make things happen in the Kansas City red and white. Las Vegas Raiders. Let's talk about it, baby. Getting my guy Max Crosby some help. Signing defensive tackle Christian Wilkins. Comes over from the Miami Dolphins. We thought we were going to be aggressive in free agency. We definitely are. We're trying to win right now. Antonio Pierce sees the writing on the wall. You got to go and get somebody who's going to get at these quarterbacks in our division. When you talk about a Justin Herbert, when you talk about a Patrick Mahomes. Still yet to see who's going to take over the helm over there in Denver. But I'm just happy we got that type of attack, you know, somebody to get after the quarterbacks on that side, hopefully stop some of the running game as well. Also, Amir Abdullah was re-signed. Zamir White looks like he's going to be the number one, or maybe not. Alexander Mattinson comes over from Minnesota, added to the running back room as well. We know that we like a lot of backs. Pause. But with that being said, the running attack is going to be slightly different without Josh Jacobs. Maybe we don't lean on one player as much and make it running by committee. We'll see how that goes. The Chargers, like I said, trade away Keenan Allen, which is crazy to me. Putting all your eggs in the Mike Williams basket, or maybe not. He seems to still not be solidified over there. I think he was also let go to clear up space. So, I mean, they could turn their attention to the draft and try to go after a young budding star. But with that being said, if I'm Justin Herbert, definitely a little bit upset, right? The other Los Angeles team is the Rams. They're signing left guard Jonah Jackson, coming over from Detroit. Somebody who was protecting Jared Goff. We've seen what that offense was able to do last season. Is that going to continue to be the case? We shall see. Rams looking to add, you know, some help on that side. Miami Dolphins agreeing to terms with edge Shaq Barrett. Definitely a big name. He comes over from the Bucks, and the Bucks seem to be looking like they're in the rebuilding process. We shall see. They add that to Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb. Definitely going to be a scary defense over there in Miami to go along with the offense that's proven to be able to do more than needed. Vikings, of course, they let go of Kirk Cousins. It's going to be unfortunate to see what happens over there quarterback-wise. I don't think they're going to be able to bounce back from that right away. Justin Jefferson, what does that mean for him? Is he going to want to get on, you know, on his way out of town as well? Future remains unknown, but if I'm that guy, I'm a little bit upset. New England Patriots are re-signing offensive tackle Mike Onwenu. Not much happening in there. I don't think much is going to happen for the Patriots. They do have a new head coach, right? No more, what was my guy, Bill Belichick? Yeah, he's out of there. Shake shit up, get that guy on the couch. Hopefully nobody gives him a fucking talking job in the NFL either. I don't want to see him anywhere. Saints. All the older injured players, gotta go. Haven't made any additions yet. However, they have let go of Jameis Winston. Also, I believe, he's too injury prone. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's the fact that he's up there in age and in football sides of things, but Michael Thomas, also an offensive lineman, Andreas Pete, all out from New Orleans. Haven't seen any signings yet. It's going to be difficult to watch if you're a Saints fan. The Giants trading for edge rusher Brian Burns, who comes over from Carolina. Is that going to be enough? They've lost Saquon Barkley, moved on from that guy. He eventually goes over to the Philadelphia Eagles, who I'm sure we'll talk about shortly. A lot of running backs got shaken up, and it's just going to be crazy to see him in different uniforms. The Jets, that defensive end, Bryce Huff, walk. Crazy to me, right? I mean, over there, you could really only lean on that defense. Obviously, they're looking forward to having a healthy Aaron Rodgers. Give him another go at it, see if he's able to get a full season in. But in the meantime, still not too much movement. The Eagles, like I said, they signed running back Saquon Barkley. Coming over from the Giants. When healthy this guy is, that guy. Is he going to be healthy this season? Who knows? But is he going to be asked to do as much as he did in his previous team? Definitely not. The Eagles got a high-powered offense, looking just to add another piece. The running game over there was formidable, but I think Saquon definitely makes that running back room a hell of a lot better. Steelers signed Russell Wilson. Also, like we spoke about, let go of Kenny Pickett, added Justin Fields. Quarterback competition over there in Pittsburgh, Freiermuth, Pickens. Are they going to be able to be the guys with Deontay Johnson moving on? We shall see. I do know that can't be really confident if you're Russell Wilson, right? I mean, you got paid and you get your money regardless, so who could really knock you? But at this point, you had the brief stint that you did in Denver with Sean Payton treating you like, an old gallon of milk expired and passed his due date. Left you out, just tossed you out by the wayside. But now you get signed over there in Pittsburgh. And, Pittsburgh fans are happy because look at what they've been dealing with as far as quarterbacks are concerned. I don't know, man. Since what? Since fucking Roethlisberger? Has there been anybody over there who's been able to do something that was, going to take over that fan base and give them some confidence? Russ maybe thought he could have been that guy, but immediately after, you go after a Justin Fields and now quarterback competition. Is he going to be of right, mind, body, and soul to get what he has to do done and take that number one job, or is Justin Fields going to make this guy sit on the bench? Regardless of whether he's sitting or standing in the pocket or sitting on the bench, he's going to have a lot of paper in the pocket. So, Russ, just go get you a nice little spot in Pittsburgh, partner. The Niners, Arik Armstead, like we said, he's gone. It's going to be a domino effect, I feel like, for the 49ers. Not everybody's going to be able to go over there. Chase Young's already moved on. He was there for a one-year deal. Seen today that he ended up signing with somebody else. Can't remember who they said, but I'll look through the notes and figure it out. Seahawks, seems like they're just trying to clear up some paper. I don't know what's going on over there. I know that it seems like they're not even able to get out of the NFC West. We know the Niners are definitely a powerhouse team. But if you want to be competitive, you're going to have to make some moves. It seems like they might be in a real rebuilding process with the way they're just moving the money from the back end of the defense to the front. We'll see how things transpire for them. The Bucs are just keeping the band together, man. They got Mike Williams coming back. Baker Mayfield, they would not allow to go out. Levante David, kicker Chase McLaughlin. Safety, Antoine Winfield Jr. And, all these pieces are coming back. Safety Jordan Whitehead is a key piece of their Super Bowl defense from 2020. He's kept as well on the franchise tag. Seems like they're ready to run it back and see what they could do. with that South changing up the way that it has thus far, it's going to be even more difficult over there. AFC North news, Tennessee Titans, like we said, they signed Calvin Ridley. Needed to upgrade a wide receiver. Will Levis is definitely the best possible position to succeed now with Calvin Ridley adding to the squad. If he's unable to get it done, I don't know. Two number one caliber wideouts over there in Tennessee now when you talk about a Calvin Ridley and a DeAndre Hopkins. It's going to be crazy to see what their offensive attack could be. Hopefully they're able to get some shit cracking. Washington Commanders. 20 unrestricted free agents, had a ton of needs, you know, had a lot of cap room. They were able to do what they had to do. Revamped the linebacker position, signing underrated Frankie Louvelle, future Hall of Famer Bobby Wagner. Center position addressed by adding Tyler Biadasz. That's, you know, away from Cowboys left guard, signing Nick Algeretti of the Chiefs. Washington added three edge rushers. Dorrance Armstrong from Dallas, the Commanders still at need of offensive tackle and quarterback. Probably going to be addressing the draft. We shall see how they go about that. More specifically, let's talk about my Raiders. Now, we talked about Christian Wilkins coming over from Miami. Definitely a key addition that I want to see on the field. Can't wait to watch him and Max Crosby. Hopefully, this Tyree Wilson, that we drafted last year, is able to take that next step. I hope that we get all three of these, you know, three-headed monster, add Malcolm Kuntz into there. Should be scary, right? We also added Gardner Minshew. Minshew Magic comes over. I mean, this is a scratch-your-head signing for me. Justin Fields was talked about. Turns out, you know, Pittsburgh adds him over just to compete. Well, we add Gardner Minshew to compete with Aiden O'Connell. What the feezy? Not going to completely, you know, criticize what's going on yet. It's still a lot to be seen. Tom Telesco is making his first moves over here as GM. Antonio Pierce got to have faith in what's going on. Harrison Bryant comes over, backup tight end. We have a lot of people in the tight end room as well. Talk about Mayer. It's going to be interesting to see. Last year we had Austin Cooper. I don't know if he's going to stick around. Tre'Davious White comes over as well, cornerback, who I am excited to see. You know, as far as visits are concerned, hopefully he's going to come and stay. But that's still to be said. He's just coming on a visit. Alexander Mattison has been confirmed, will be a Raider. Now, is that enough? Who knows, right? Who's the quarterback going to be? Jimmy, obviously. Garoppolo has been released. I believe he agreed to terms somewhere else. Good luck for you, buddy. Minshew siding. I don't know, man. I ain't mad, 100%. I mean, this is a guy who's been able to go wherever he's at with whatever he's been given and make some splashes. I just have a little bit of cause for concern when you talk about Hunter Renfro being moved on from as well. Now, I know he wasn't as active in the offense as we have seen in the past, but you talk about a guy who, if he gets hot, he could get busy. And with him being gone, you still got who you had last year as far as, of course, Devontae Adams. We cannot ever call that guy chopped liver, one of the best wide receivers as long as he continues to play as far as, you know, he wants to take it. We also have Jacoby Myers came over and played well last season. Trey Tucker, who I think is a step or two away. Obviously, he's got the speed. Is he going to be able to be in the right place at the right time? And do we finally have a quarterback who's going to be able to take the top off of the field like that? Can Minshew get the ball down the field? Of course, Minshew magic, right? O'Connell shown glimpses. Maybe this little bit of pressure on O'Connell's shoulders is going to be enough to make him excel. If not, we know we got a backup piece right there. And who's to say we don't still trade up and go after somebody in the draft or see if Jaden Daniels is still around at 9. DJ Turner is also an option here at the wide receiver area. DeAndre Carter, a lot of speed. Still to be seen what's actually going to happen. I'm excited for the season just in the sense that, you know, new ball is going to be being played. We finally have a full season of Antonio Pierce, the New England Patriots. Whole little experiment is done with. We got those bastards out of town. I was telling Raider fans, whether it was the casual ones who are a little more realistic or, you know, the non-mentionable, you know, no longer around, They're all, you know, we got to see, you know, we got to see what happens. You know, this guy comes over and he's won Super Bowls. He hasn't won shit. Went over to Denver as a head coach, shit the bed. Offensive coordinator, maybe. Is he going to get another job? Highly doubt it. He's shown his ass twice when he's been given the keys to the city. Along with that David Ziegler cat. Hopefully he's nowhere in the league either. Fuck both of them. Whatever that Lombardi kid was too. Mike Lombardi, right? The one talking shit about Pierce. Fuck you as well. I want to get a little Deuce Gruden, whatever the fuck his name is. Get him out of here too. Fuck all that shit. New era. Shake shit up. Marvin Lewis over here helping out. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting. Patrick Graham coming back as defensive coordinator. This offensive coordinator cat, I know he was the second option. Cliff Kingsbury decided not to come our way. Apparently was lured away from Magic Johnson, who's quote-unquote lifelong Raider fan, right, but now partial owner of the Commanders. Found a way to lure that guy over, so now no Cliff Kingsbury, who I would have been excited to see. Instead, I don't even know the name of this cat who comes over from the Bears. All I know is the play that I seen from the Bears. Had a couple of partners who had drafted heavy in Bears offense, and that was not helping them out in the fantasy realm of things. It's very telling for what's going to come, you know, about as far as what our potential is at offense this season. But we do have pieces. Hopefully we're able to make some shit happen. We shall see going forward. Another name that I wanted to mention, Patrick Queen moves on from the Baltimore Ravens. What's interesting is he stays in his own division. Moves over to the Steelers. Defensive side of the ball is not going to be something that people talk about as often as they do the offensive. It's, I guess, not as attractive or whatnot. But there's been a lot of defensive moves as well. Told you about Chase Young. He's going to sign that 1 year, $13 million guaranteed with New Orleans Saints. At least one thing to smile about, because it seems like it's going to be rough over there in New Orleans. The Super Bowl will be played in New Orleans this year. However, if there's any Saints in attendance, it will be because they purchased tickets. Looking at other news around the league, kind of want to just get into some of these quick hits I had saved over here on the phone, because, I mean, as far as this free agency is concerned, I'm trying to look at these websites and get the latest up to date. 22 hours ago was still low news, in my opinion. Before we move on from the Raiders, let's clap it up for Max Crosby. This gentleman has conquered a lot of demons. You know, he's shown that he's been sober now for some time. It's definitely shown in his overall happiness and his play. You see a smile on his wife's face. You see a happy home. You see a happy Raiders fan base with Max Crosby, who seems to be playing out of his mind. We have a player now on defense that, when they talk about defensive players, he's the bar. May not have gotten the love as far as, you know, these voters went, as far as, you know, defensive player of the year, which was definitely a snub. You got to take that with a grain of salt, knowing that the Raiders are still going to get that Raiders treatment. But game recognized game. And Max Crosby has apparently signed a deal with the Jordan brand that's going to bring him some money and a dope endorsement deal with the GOAT of the NBA game. Wide receiver Mike Williams, who we talked about with the Chargers, he's still, you know, not solidified over there. It seems like he's going to be talking with the Jets, Panthers, and Steelers, per source. Jets up first with Williams arriving Monday night. Now, let's just talk about this for a second, right? You're talking about the Jets. Now, you got Aaron Rodgers over there, the Panthers, Bryce Young. You could shake that off the table right now, unless they got a bag that this guy can't turn down. Just those two names alone, no thanks. Steelers being the third option, you could look at Russ or you could look at Justin Fields. I still feel like Fields is going to be on the field when it comes down to it. But of all those three quarterbacks and defensive side of things, I think if I'm Mike Williams, I'm going to the Jets happily. Shake up from L.A. to New York, but hey, man, be bi-coastal, do what you got to do. Now, as far as what we'd have help-wise, right, I mean, the Jets, they've got pieces. Panthers, not so much. And Steelers, yeah. You'd be able to make a bigger name over there with less talent on that side of the ball, but still yet to be determined. As we talked about, Tre'Davious White, scheduled with the Rams and the Raiders, visits, and hopefully he doesn't leave Vegas without a contract. We shall see. Speaking of the Rams, one of the greatest to ever do it. Nightmare for quarterbacks all across the league who are now rejoicing at the fact that Aaron Donald has announced his retirement. Going to clap it up for a great career. someone who did things that I haven't seen on the football field in quite some time. When you talk about they're dedicating 2-3 guys to this man, and he's still finding a way to get in there and get to business. Aaron Donald, you know, great run. And you know, hopefully the next chapter of his life is as successful as the one that he had on the field. Definitely congratulations to him. Patrick Mahomes, like we said, he's getting Marquise Hollywood Brown over there. We shall see how that's going to shake out. Hopefully he's able to do some things. Quarterback trade going down. Sam Howell to the Seahawks from the Commanders. Seahawks receive Howell, a 4th-round pick. And the Commanders also receive a 3rd-round pick. A lot of defensive duos going down right now. You talk about Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins. You talk about Bryce Huff and Hassan Reddick over in Philly. You talk about T.J. Watt and Patrick Queen in Pittsburgh. Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau in New York. I still think we got the best of that with T.J. Watt and Patrick Queen obviously being 1A, 1B. I'm biased, but hey, the AFC looks like it's going to be rough as well as that NFC, especially that NFC East. Interested in how the Cowboys aren't making moves and these guys are making all these interdivision trades. It's going to be nutty to see, man. Former Browns quarterback, NFL comeback player of the year, Joe Flacco, has reached agreement with the Indianapolis Colts per sources. 1-year deal up to $8.7 million, including $4.5 million guaranteed. Flacco traveling over to Indy getting some more paper. That's interesting. A guy who essentially came off of the couch and went in and put in his work, did what he had to do. Now he's becoming a Brown. Good luck for that guy going forward. I did see him, you know, play his heart out last year. He was gunslinging. Of course, you know, he threw a couple of picks in that last game. Didn't, you know, shed himself in the brightest of lights on his way out. But for what he was able to do and how effective he was coming off of that couch, got to see what he's able to do with the full year. Pittman back at the Indy Colts as well. Help over there on the defensive side. They got some key players. New era over there in Indy. Danielle Hunter, like we talked about, going to the Texans, 2-year, $49 million deal, $48 million guaranteed. God, Lord, who is your agent, man? That's crazy. Good shit, though. Saquon Barkley over there for the Eagles. Bryce Huff, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, defensive back. Wide receiver Devontae Parker, linebacker Zach Bond, and offensive lineman Matt Hennessy. Definitely making moves, the Eagles, man. They know that they're right there, knocking at the door. Last season, a lot of controversy as far as how that fall from grace was. Interesting to see if they're able to get things back on track. They're definitely making the moves in free agency to try to make that happen. Forgive me while I go through all these little notes on the phone. You know, Patrick Mahomes, we talk about him as a quarterback and what he's able to do on the field. Say what you say about the guy. He's definitely produced and shown that in this short time here, he's a force to be reckoned with, to say the least. Also a team player. Restructuring his quarterback to create an additional $21.6 million worth of salary cap space. It's going to be able to get them those Hollywood Browns and make additional signings as well as keep pieces around. Good luck for Patrick Mahomes. I mean, to an extent, actually, fuck y'all. Raiders all day. Excuse me. That shot was for the New York Giants. Of course, you got Danny Dimes, right? No Saquon, but now you're adding Seahawks quarterback Drew Lock for a 1-year guaranteed $5 million deal. Backup help over there. You know, Daniel likes to run around, sometimes gets himself in shaky areas. Now a little bit of backup, I guess, cushion, if you want to call it that. Who do you think has the best wide running back signing thus far? I want to ask you this question. I'm just looking at a little post I see here. Tony Pollard has moved on from Dallas. He's now a Tennessee Titan. Austin Eckler, former, you know, everything back for the Chargers. Is now a Commander. Talked about DeAndre Swift moving on from Philly, going to Chicago. Derrick Henry, obviously, key big name. And you talk about that offense, that's going to be scary over there in Baltimore. Saquon to the Eagles, or Josh Jacobs over to the Packers. What the crazy? Now, these are guys, when I look at them in these different uniforms on this post, it all just looks crazy to me. If I had to be 100% honest about this, I'm excited to see what Derrick Henry could do, but he's also up there in years. I think Austin Eckler is somebody who the Chargers should have kept around, but the fact that they're letting go of Eckler, they're letting go of Allen, they may not even re-sign Williams. Justin Herbert, what are you allowing to happen over there? And Jim Harbaugh, what is going on? That guy signed himself over to that team, signed the contract, added himself to that equation, and let all of their key players go. Definitely, you know, head scratcher to me. we shall see how that pans out. Deontay Johnson to the Panthers, trying to help out Bryce Young. Panthers receive Johnson in the 7th round pick, while the Steelers receive defensive back Dante Jackson in the 6th round pick. I mean, it seems like they didn't get too much back for Deontay, just willing to see him, you know, skate on. Definitely would be upset if I'm Deontay. I know you get your dollars, but to go over to the Panthers with that shaky quarterback play, not too much help. Interesting to see how that all pans out. We talked about Baker staying with the Bucs. This is the details. 3-year, $100 million deal with the Buccaneers. Clap it up. Direct quote from him is, "I wanted a chance to come back," Mayfield said. "I love the Coach Bowles and the staff, and I'm happy to be here, and I want to win more in the postseason." All right, well, there you go. This is how it's going to pan out money-wise. In 2024, he'll be guaranteed $30 million. In 2025, that same 30, including a $20 million guaranteed portion. In 2026, $40 million, $5 million per year in incentives, $100 million total. Max value of $115 million for Baker Mayfield. If you know where this guy, you know, has come through or been through and what he's been able to leave in the past and overcome, you got to be happy for Baker. I was a little upset seeing him in all those commercials, but he's a funny motherfucker. You know, overall, just a football player, a football player's player. You tell he's out there still having fun. Not more that you could ask for. And he's getting paid for it. So good luck to that guy going forward. And we shall see what's going on for Baker and the Bucks. Mac Jones. No, he was treated over there in New England. Obviously, New England's not going to be turning too many heads this season. Definitely a rebuilding process. Still undecided as far as where their trajectory is going to go. I mean, it could only really be up from here. But they're finalizing a deal to send quarterback Mac Jones to the Jaguars. Mac Jones, a Jacksonville native, will now have an opportunity to go play backup behind Trevor Lawrence. Obviously, C.J. Beathard's there as well. I don't think there's going to be much competition if you got that guy, Mac Jones, over there. I mean, Matt Barkley was also in that quarterback room. If one of them's got to go, I don't think it's going to be Mac Jones. I think he'll stay as a backup option. If I had to bet money on it, I would say Beathard would be there as well. Matt Barkley probably going to be moving on. Now, I mean, this whole NFL free agency thing is going to be a beast to conquer. We really aren't going to know the finalized positions and places for these players until the season starts, until we get into this training camp era and see, you know, how these 53-man rosters actually do shake out. But of all the free agencies in the recent history, this is definitely one where I've seen a lot of domino pieces fall in different areas. What it's going to mean for each conference as a whole, when we talk AFC and NFC, I think we're going to have some teams that are going to come out of the blue and be contenders going forward. If I had to bet my money on some shit right now, as far as who's going to, you know, go night and day from last season, obviously it's not a hot take when you talk about Aaron Rodgers coming back and being healthy. But I think the Jets are going to turn some heads. You talk about the running back situation they got going on over there. It's running back by committee, and they do have a lot of players who could be running back number ones in any room. Now with a healthy Aaron Rodgers, with the addition of offensive pieces as well as, you know, obviously defense as well, where they were already pretty solid at with a great defensive-minded coach, I think the Jets are going to make some noise. Unfortunately, I think there's going to be some teams that were right there knocking on the door. We're going to take a couple of steps back. With that being said, I think the Bills are actually going to be one of them. I don't know if I'm really going out on a limb there. I think that this might be the consensus around the league, where you look at what they've lost versus what they've added. And you just think about maybe the whole morale there. I mean, can you say that Stephon Diggs is a happy camper? Gabe Davis now out of town. Maybe a lot more attention paid to him and without, you know, a defense having to worry about the other guy on the other side. Hardy has another option that I seen, you know, as a deep option for them. Also, has moved on. Running back play has changed up a bit. It will be interesting. Devin Singletary, who was former Bills running back, is now at the Giants, trying to fill the shoes of Saquon Barkley. I don't know if the Giants are going to be able to do much, but they're definitely going to have an opportunity to improve should things go well. Obviously, as a Raider fan, it might just seem like biasness, but I do really feel like the Raiders are going to make a huge upswing next season. And I think it's all going to spark from defense. I don't think that we're done. And if we're not going to be able to go get that quarterback that we really want, i.e. a Jaden Daniels, then maybe instead of trading up, you decide to trade back and get more picks and start, playing a real full game of poker, and with a full deck of cards and see what you're able to come up with. I still think that it all depends on what Telesco is able to do, on the chemistry between the new offensive coordinator and pieces that we have existing. Obviously, Antonio Pierce is able to change the morale of the team, get that locker room looking like they're having a good time. But if the offense isn't gelling, we have seen, Davante Adams throw many tantrums from here and there. Definitely not something that you want to see out of your star, wide receiver, star offensive player, obviously a team captain. I think a lot of that is just out of frustration. You're talking about a guy who wants to win so bad that when it isn't going that way, the frustration cannot be hidden. But I just feel like it's got to be channeled. Especially now when you're going to have a quarterback room where you have an Aiden O'Connell who, if he does get that job, is going to need all the support in the world and some patience. Or if it's going to be a Gardner Minshew, he's going to have to win the respect of that squad immediately. Or risk being in that same boat. If we don't go get that quarterback that everybody has their eyes on, add to the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, the running back situation is a little bit up in the air. We don't know exactly what we have until we see the game plan and how it's used, how it's executed, if it's effective, if we have a attack in a way that's going to benefit the positions and the players that we have, or if it's going to be a learning process. Some good news that I've been seeing is a lot of this offseason time has been kind of filled by players who are deciding to go out there and get shit done while it's not even mandatory. Max Crosby's been at work for, it seems like the entire offseason. That's a guy who is going to stay busy and going to stay productive and going to stay working towards a common goal, which is obviously success and domination in his position. I don't know how you could be a teammate of that guy and not try to match what he's got going on, so hopefully that's enough to get the young guys and the new veterans coming in to buy in. With the addition of Wilkins, with the maturation process, hopefully, of a Tyrese Wilson. Really want to see that guy take another two steps forward. You know what I mean? It just seemed like everything was a little slow last season. Malcolm Kuntz, man, praying that guy remains healthy and effective the way that he was last year, and then, the sky's the limit. Offense may be the only hiccup that we could have, but if you have an effective enough defense, they just got to come in and not lose the game, and we should be able to win some. NFL, like I said, is continuously changing, a reflection of as far as every team, every franchise is concerned. It's going to be something we're going to really have to pay a lot of attention to. But, hey, that's what it's all about, right? Getting closer. The weather's starting to get better. Daylight savings time. We've sprung forward. What that means is football is on the horizon. Can't wait for this draft to happen. See where the chips fall. And they get to work. Now, shit is most definitely unprofessional as fuck on this episode. Unprecedented. This is a show that was halfway done, paused with the intent of coming back and getting it done that same day. Didn't end up happening. Shout out my guy Jake. You know what I mean? He told me it was gonna come through at a certain time. Pause production in order to, kick it uninterrupted and, undistracted and whatnot. Then the homie seemingly flakes, right? So it's now deep into the hours of, basketball being on. Your guy Ruck be fucking with Prize Picks. I had a couple Prize Picks in. Now I'm over here dual screen, watching the Kings on the projector, watching the Warriors on the monitor. Already told the wifey, yeah, the homie flake. Whoop. Then all of a sudden I get a text, I'm outside. Way after the time, right? You know what I mean? What the feezy? All good. I'm not tripping. At this point, the music shit we were going to work on is kind of washed. I'm over here in full-on sports mode. But, at the end of the day, you could always come back and get shit done. So that's just, part of the reason why there's such a fucking delay in this show. But, don't even worry. I'm going to get back onto the schedule seems to be an uphill battle as of late, but it is what it is, right? And just to update real quick before we get all the way out of football, because I know we're pretty much wrapping that up. Ruxtradamus, man, Mike Williams, I was talking about, you know, the three teams that they were talking about him visiting, whether I think one was the Jets, one was the Panthers. I can't remember who the third team was, but to me it was a no-brainer. Go to the Jets with just what they have weapons-wise on offense, the solid defense that they have, and just the overall morale, it seems like, with Saleh being the head coach. And that's exactly what happened. Shout out to the Giants. Got to clap it up. They get their guy, Mike Williams, now no longer a member of the depleted Chargers team. Jim Harbaugh came over there and completely cleaned house. I don't know, you know, what he's thinking, but I guess, you know, that there's a privilege that comes along with being John Harbaugh, apparently, right? You know that you don't got to win right now. Where there's other coaches that scramble to try to make shit happen in a, you know, a kind of not a scared wise, but just with a sense of urgency, knowing that you may not have as long as a platform to walk across as a head coach, right? You, this may be your one and done opportunity. Some coaches don't make it through a full season, but Jim Harbaugh deciding to clean house over there in Los Angeles. Justin Herbert went to sleep one night, woke up, and you know, started just playing Jay-Z. Shit was all good just a week ago. It's looking really bad for him as far as weapons-wise. I don't know what to say, but as a Raiders fan, I'm 100% with it. Y'all keep doing all that dumb shit, and we'll see how shit goes. Want to talk basketball now? I'm going to talk briefly about a lot of different things, but I definitely want to talk about these Kings in volume. It's been an upswing for me as of late. I'm excited about what's going on, but let's just talk about it in general. This whole entire fucking NBA season has been nuts as far as the standings, you know, like 1-5 or 1-3, you know, not necessarily. Like in the West, it seems like 1-5 is pretty solidified. You're battling now for that 6-10 seed spot, in where, you know, obviously 7-10 is playing in a play-in tournament, so you're obviously worried about shit like that. If you're 7, you're pretty much solidified, right? You're going to be in there one way or not, I believe, or maybe that's not even the case. I think 7 or 8, you play, even the loser of that game has an opportunity to still play their way in. It's those 9-10 positions where it's really, you know, win, make or break. You win or go home at that point. And with that being said, those 9-10 positions right now are being occupied by none other than the Warriors and the Lakers. Now, depending on how you feel, you never really want to see none of those teams when it gets into playoff mode. I know that for my Kings, per se, as a Kings fan, we've been pretty dominant against the Lakers, but that's also something that will be going on their chalkboard. You know, these guys feel like they own you, and whether that game's at Golden 1 Center or not, you're going to get a very motivated LeBron James, who have seemed to be going through some things as of late. I'm not going to touch on that. Just, you know, hopefully everything's right at the house, LeBron. Shout out Genie Bussin' them, right? Anyway, as it stands right now, let me look through these standings because shit is getting froggy. I know in the East, teams that I didn't really think were up there in the positions that they are certainly, you know, surprising me. Boston, obviously, number one. They've been playing lights out, been a hot team all season. It seems like they've really got a focus right now. Shout out to that young coach. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. Took over for Ime Udoka after that whole entire scandal went on. Seems like he just kept the ball rolling. Milwaukee, despite what you think as far as, you know, how this Giannis and Damian Lillard matchup has looked, or you know, partnering has looked as of late or since the inception of it, I only see these guys getting better as the season goes on. And as of now, they're in second seed with 44 wins, 24 losses. And obviously Boston's got a stronghold on number one, as number two is 10 games behind. That's not going to get, you know, then there's no catching up there. So definitely Boston, the only team thus far that's really clinched a playoff spot, or, you know, solidified their spot. And it's dope. Cleveland comes in at 3. This is a team that a lot of people were shocked, you know, are in this position. You got Spotter Mitchell over there. A lot of players that are doing great things, not only as supporting cast in the starting lineup, but also maybe perhaps the sixth man of the year option as a Caris LeVert, I believe, is on that team as well. Continuing down the line, shout out to the Knicks, playing very well. Jalen Brunson the other day put his fucking team on his shoulders. Single-handedly, I feel like beat the Kings when the team had less than 100 points and 42 were scored by Jalen Brunson. It's an indictment not only on the rest of his teammates, but also on the defense that's playing him. Can we just take this guy out of the game and force some of these other guys to, you know, make plays? Number five, in the East, Orlando Magic, 41-28. No, the fourth position is 13 games back. Only a half game separates Orlando at five from New York at four, with a total of 2.5 games from 5-3. So it's all right there for the taking. There's still a lot of game to be played. Number six position held on by the Philadelphia 76ers. Going to go watch those guys play the Kings this upcoming Monday. A depleted team. I definitely was excited thinking I was going to see Embiid play in person now with the injury and him sustaining, you know, an injury after his injury, trying to come back to satisfy the rules of the NBA. Now it's not only hurting his team, but also hurting those fans, regardless of whether they're Philly fans or not, who purchased a ticket for that game at their favorite team's home, expecting to see some of these superstars. Selfish, obviously, to be thinking in the fans' perspective. Hopefully Embiid gets better. The league is better when everybody's at full, you know, capacity, full strength. So get back soon, my guy. Number seven, the Indiana Pacers. Tyrese Halliburton obviously playing lights out over there. The addition of Pascal Siakam. Definitely a dynamic duo. It seems like everybody over there has got an opportunity to contribute on any night. Like what you see out there, they're currently in seventh place. Eighth seed in the East, occupied by Miami Heat. Now, this team, I don't understand. I mean, eight now when you were, you know, just in the Eastern Conference Finals, I believe. Or shit, were they in the, I don't know who played. Was it Heat in Denver last year? Man, I'm unprofessional as fuck. I'm not going to do the research. Just know that I expected the Heat to be in a better position than eighth seed at this point. Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo. Tyler Hero, they got some pieces over there, man. I don't know what's going on, but, you know, it's still the season is the season. Once we get into the postseason, anything can happen, and beating one team seven, you know, best of seven is a tall task, especially when you have a guy who has the heart of a Jimmy Butler. So anything could be done, but you definitely don't want to put yourself in position at the eight seed to have to go play that Boston Celtics team. It seems like they're playing lights out. Nine, surprisingly, Chicago. DeMar DeRozan will not be denied. It's a damn shame that in the East you could be in the ninth seed with 34-35 record below 500, but it is what it is, right? 10 occupied by ATL, Atlanta Hawks, the 10th position. I haven't seen, what's my guy's name? Ice Trey. Trey Young play in quite some time. I would have to go do some research on where he's been. Obviously, it's got to be injuries. There's no way this guy's not on the court if he's healthy. Now let's go to this West where I told you it seems like that 1-5 position is pretty much solidified. It looks that way. In one, currently, you know, this is a shuffling act. It seems like 1, 2, and 3 every night has an opportunity to go, you know, shuffle all those three teams as OKC at 1 and Denver at 2 are actually at the same exact, you know, position. Although OKC only has 47 wins and 20 losses and Denver has 48 wins, they also have 21 losses, which puts them pretty much, you know, same kind of even keel. To put in perspective, Denver Nuggets are now in second place with one more win and technically zero games back. It's all going to come down to how this, you know, final stretch goes, and we shall see how it pans out. Minnesota, a team that, you know, some nights they end up on the first spot. Some nights they're second. Today, they start this day at third position, third seed in the West, one game back with a 47-22 record. Now the Clippers, start of the season, I'm talking about, you know, the Kings' best team in California, getting real cocky with it, right? It seems that this, somehow, some way, you get Russell Wilson, who goes to the top brass and says, I'll come off the bench. I'm a humble hero, a superstar. Everybody knows what I could do. I don't really have to be the man every fucking night. I'll come off the bench, let all these other divas get their play time, right? So now you got the three-headed monster off the starting lineup. When we talk about a Kawhi Leonard, a Paul George, and obviously a James Harden, who's been playing better. It's the James Harden now who looks a little bit motivated. You get a guy who's in the West and in the top five, you know, seed-wise, currently positioned in fourth, facilitating the ball, making shots when he needs to, always has an act for getting to the free throw line, and they're still here at the fourth position, only five games back of first. One half game separates 4-5. Currently occupied, the fifth seed belongs to the New Orleans Pelicans. Zion Williamson, say what you say about the guy. You know, he's up and down as far as fluctuating. I ain't talking about his weight. I'm talking about his gameplay, and it may all tie in. But then you have Brandon Ingram, a guy who's continuously gotten better. It's a damn shame that there's no Lonzo Ball over there. They would be able to really do a lot of things with a better quarterback, you know, per se. Obviously, we know he's a point guard. But just likening his position to what it would be on the football field. I don't know if he's ever going to be able to get back. This injury bug that has been biting him from his entire career is just looking like it may have taken too much of a toll. However, still somehow without one of their three pieces, New Orleans is still right there, 42-26. Sacramento Kings at the sixth seed. Speaking of six, this is where shit gets a little shaky. You talk about the 6-8 seed is separated by literally a half a game. Currently in sixth in a solidified playoff position are the Sacramento Kings at 39-28. Right behind them with actually one more win, but one more loss, is the Dallas Mavericks sitting at that 7th seed with 40-29 as far as their record is concerned. Also 8 games back from first. But currently at that cutoff point where the 7-10 seeds will be playing in the play-in game. Anything could happen still, yet to be decided, and a lot of games to be played. Now, Dallas, like I said, has that 7 seed right behind them, only a half game back from 6 and 7. This is the Phoenix Suns. Now, Kevin Durant, been playing great lately. Seems like Devin Booker, off and on, from what I've been seeing, some nights he's lights out, some nights he fades to the background. I have liked the fact that Bradley Beal, Booker, and Durant have been on the court more often than not together now. But it just seems like there's still another notch that they could take it up that they haven't reached yet. I personally hope that that doesn't happen this season. Because you talk about three ballers right there who are going to be highly motivated. Currently in the 8th seed in the West. Right there at that 9th seed, 11 games back. LA Lakers. 37-32. Obviously, I kind of briefly discussed what's going on with LeBron. I'm seeing him play, and it just don't look like the same guy. Not to say it's father time, not to say he's taking a step back. I just think it's a mental thing right now. When the house ain't right, nothing's really going to gel 100% like it should. And that could be the case. I could be, you know, kind of nitpicking and looking too far into some shit that really ain't there. But you better be careful. Because the Golden State Warriors are right behind you in the 10th seed at 35-32. And what needs to be discussed when we talk about this Warriors team is what I've been seeing as far as what I'm watching. Steph Curry just getting back from an injury. You know, he's been on and off the court. We know what goes on with the Draymond, who took a lot of time out of this season on the bench, suspended, or, you know, just not even allowed to be with the team. Now he's back. He's facilitating. You also got a Chris Paul, who say what you say about him. I really do feel like there's a Chris Paul curse. But in the time when Steph Curry is forced to be on the bench for rest or whatever it may be, he's been able to come in and do some great things as far as, you know, quarterbacking for his team as well. With some young depth on that team, you know, Pods, I don't know exactly how to pronounce my guy's name, you know, no disrespect. Took the starting position from Klay Thompson coming off the bench, and I don't want to say that that is a negative connotation to it. It kind of, to me, looks the same way that Russell Westbrook does. A player, you know, like Klay Thompson, who may get in his head when he's in that starting lineup and not able to be as effective as he would like to be, now comes in off of the bench with a chip on his shoulder. A lot of, more often than not, they leave Kuminga in when this guy's playing. Then you have, you know, potentially him, Paul Kuminga, and that Jackson Davis kid, the center that's going on right now. I don't know where Looney's been, but I do know that when Jackson Davis is in there, they play a different style of ball that could be something to see going forward. All that being said, the playoffs, man, they're right around the corner. We're getting close, and it's going to be definitely exciting to see what's going on. Now, let's continue talking basketball for a little bit. I want to discuss briefly, you know, there's some things that I'm seeing going on, a couple of these memes that have come across my screen as of late. I want to talk about, before I get to the Kings, let's talk about this guy Pods, right? I'm going to try to do it. Brandon Podziemski. Leads the NBA. This is the young kid from Golden State who's taking that Klay Thompson position. Leads the NBA in charges drawn. 33 this season, has more than 20 of the NBA's entire teams by himself. Regardless, I got to clap that up. You know it's something when you can get a young kid who comes in and forces the team to make a decision like, okay, let's have Klay come off the bench, right? A Klay Thompson who, I mean, like I've told you plenty of times, I see this guy getting his head. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. And as much as we have to give props to him for taking that with a grain of salt and continuing to be professional, we also got to look at this Pazinski kid and what he's able to do and the young spark that he brings in. They got to clap it up for him as well. I like the depth that I see from Golden State as far as what could be as we continue to go down the road. I don't know if they're quite 100% there as far as this season is concerned, but definitely going to be in the good position should these guys stick around to do some damage going forward. Now let's talk to these Kings. Sabonis is the fifth player in NBA history to achieve 20 double-doubles this season. Triple-doubles, excuse me. Double-doubles. He does that every night. I believe he's done like fucking 40 nights in a row. Put that in perspective. As far as triple-doubles, 20 triple-doubles in the season. I know that we are used to the Russell Westbrook days of OKC where it seemed like that guy was averaging a triple-double. Shout-outs to Luka. Luka Doncic has pretty much been doing the same thing as of late. In the stretch of games since the NBA All-Star break. Important to note that he's also scoring 30 points per game while doing that. It's crazy with a guy like Kyrie Irving on your team as well. Definitely want to talk about, you know, the other night. I think it was Sunday of this past week. I'm watching League Pass. You know, I got Prize Picks going. I'm just watching League Pass as it goes on for the fuck of it. Not much cracking on a Sunday. Relaxing, chilling in the living room with the fam. I see Bam Adebayo, right? I'm looking for one of these players. I think he was playing the Mavericks, if I'm not mistaken. Could have been another. Not the Mavericks, the Magic, I meant. Same color scheme, y'all hear me. I need the game to go to overtime, right? It's looking like it's going to. Somebody's bringing the ball down for the Heat. Looks like they get in trouble dribbling. They find a last-ditch effort. See Bam Adebayo wide open at the logo, pretty much, right? This is the center of the Heat. Puts up a desperation three. Makes it to end the game, 105-108. I'm looking at it like, you son of a bitch. But, hey, you got to be happy, right? This guy did what he had to do. The team's excited to get your W. Then I continue to watch, and I'm watching this Mavericks versus the Nuggets game, and this is a highly coveted game, right? Two teams who are definitely going to be making some noise in the playoffs. And another situation comes down to the wire. You're thinking, you know, this game's also going to go into overtime, but then you got to kind of count out Kyrie Irving. This guy comes down the lane. From pretty much, you know, the sideline, somebody inbounds the ball to him. My guy then has his body going right in the air. You know, I would say right underneath the free throw line, if not, you know, maybe slightly past it. Body going right, uses his left hand, throws up a floater. Shit don't even touch the rim. I'm just amazed by this guy. Luka Doncic makes his face like, who the fuck am I playing with? You know what I mean? It's a very... challenge situation when you got a star like Luka, who we just talked about what he's doing stat-wise, and he's blown away by something that this guy on the team is doing. Kyrie Irving, salute to you, bro. It's going to be crazy to see these playoffs, how they pan out. Another young player. We talked about Pazinski, right? I want to definitely talk about my guy, Keon Ellis. Keon Ellis, who I'm hoping my boy ain't feeding me no false information. But Jake told me this is Monte Ellis' son. Monte Ellis, we all know from his days at the Warriors now. Keon Ellis, hopefully this is the truth. What is true is since the All-Star break, he's been holding opponents to 34.2 field goal percentage since the All-Star break, like I said. The lowest mark by a guard in that span. Very defensive driven, which lends itself to us getting looks on the offensive side of the ball that we normally wouldn't. We're talking about fast breaks off of a block shot where now we see the Kentucky Wildcat connection, right? You see De'Aaron Fox, as fast as he is, jamming down the court, forcing somebody to, you know, come and contest him with a trailing Malik Monk. You know what that means, ball in the air and the dunk with some flair. Malik Monk's been doing his fucking thing. Sorry about that timer, unprofessional as fit-up. On top of that, Keon Ellis. Although he's young and he makes decisions that sometimes I liken it to the you know, like a young corner or a safety maybe who's excited, a ball hawk, and you see them sometimes take chances looking for the pick six or an interception at the very least. And sometimes you make the wrong decision that can lend to a receiver getting behind you and some easy points. In the realm of basketball, if you try to go make that steal, now it becomes basically an unattended player. And anybody in this league has the talent and the ability to go do what they got to do. in the moments where I see him maybe perhaps make the wrong decision, immediately makes up for it. I mean, before the fucking next possession is done. Seen that happen multiple times on the defensive side of the ball. I've seen him come up with key blocks and key situations, steals, never gives up on the play. Kind of contagious. The way that I'm watching it, if you're not at that level, watching this young rookie doing what he's doing, it's an indictment on what your effort level is and just how bad you want it. I'm really excited at the depth that we got going on right now. Trey Lyles has been hurt. Need him to come back. Unfortunate news is in this last game that I've seen, Kevin Herter went down. Parent dislocated shoulder, no timetable on when he'll be back. Definitely hurts us there, but to be 100% honest with you, his play has been up and down. And if this means that, you know, a less consistent player is going to be chilling for a second on the sideline, getting healthy and maybe getting motivated, watching the young Keon Ellis come in and just be that spark that we need defensively, offensively at some points where he has the ability to get hot, you know, from three-point line as well. I'm excited to see what happens. Do want to be as healthy as possible. I've been seeing a lot of center shuffle, you know, going on as of late. Alex Land getting into the game. I want to see some more McGee. I want him to have some burn prior to getting into the playoffs. We're going to need everybody ready to go. As playoff basketball, you know, emerges from this regular season act, you're going to get to lower scoring games. You're going to see defensive players be at a, you know, needed at a high volume. You're going to see more foul calls, perhaps, which means maybe your big superstar, unfortunately, is going to be in foul trouble early one game. You're going to have to sit him down for longer than you would like. And if that's the case, especially at the center position, I need Alex Land and JaVale McGee to be ready to go. Something I'm looking forward to seeing as time goes on. I'm thinking this playoffs, as far as the Kings are concerned, matchups are going to play a huge part in it. I wouldn't be opposed to being in that seventh seed based on who could potentially be in the second position. We've been pretty good against Denver, pretty good against Minnesota, two teams that have been kind of had our number this season is the OKC Thunder. And as crazy as it seems, New Orleans Pelicans. Two teams that I would like to avoid, at least in the first round. You know, let the rest of the playoffs pan out and see where they lay. But it's all exciting to see, man. I can't wait to see what happens. Basketball is into its crunch time. NFL, you know, you're talking draft positions and everything going on right now. There's light at the end of the tunnel as far as that is concerned. To the baseball fans, baseball's in a full upswing. I believe hockey's underway as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of shit going on. March Madness, of course. I'll talk about more of that as shit gets a little more, you know, dialed down right now. I believe there's about 1,225 teams that are still available. So, we're going to chill out for a minute on March Madness, but we are in March and shit is getting mad. I'm seeing a whole lot of advertisements, and I know HBO Max has entered their name into the hat as far as sports are concerned. Not to be outdone, Netflix as well. Briefly talk about the world of combat sports. You know the guy, Jake Paul, Mike Tyson, talked it briefly on the last regular pod, but that's going down. Now, why it's going down, I don't know. If there's going to be validity to it, I don't know. Is this shit going to be a shit show or is it really going to be something to watch? I know that I'll be a victim of it either way, going to be definitely tuned in. But some of these videos are coming out of both of their different trainings, you know, how they're preparing for these fights. And Mike Tyson, at the age that he's at, I believe he's fucking damn near 60, if not 60, still looks like a motherfucker you're going to be polite to. To say the absolute least. And Jake Paul, say what you say about him. Yeah, the guy has done some clown shit in his time. But he has also put in the work, and also somebody that if shit gets to the physical realm, you know what I mean, you would have to be on, you know, on point to deal with. I know my guy Pete was putting me on some of the actual, you know, stipulations for this fight, some of the different scenarios that could pan out. I don't know. I'm hoping that this is as close to a real, you know, competitive fight that we can see, and just see how that goes. Not to be outdone, you know, Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia. April 20th, this fight is set to go off. I've been watching the buildup for these fights as well. Ryan Garcia just looks like he's not in the right mental state to be getting in the ring, especially not with somebody like Devin Haney, one of the young, you know, budding and exciting stars in the world of boxing. If this is a money grab, I get it, but there's other ways to go get paper, i.e. Canelo. I know he's fighting coming up soon against some fucking person who I may be disrespectful in saying this, but it seems like a no-name in my opinion. I know anybody who is in position in boxing or, you know, works this hard to be in a opportunity to get into a fight with a Canelo, you have to be a top-tier athlete. But this seems like these DAZN fighters, man, they duck certain shit. Certain shit just looks, you know, a little shaky to me, and this Canelo fight looks the same. We shall see how everything goes. I'm just excited to see sports continue to do what it do. Right now, currently, you know, the Kings, just as a biased fan, I got to keep filling y'all in with that. We strung off a few good wins, with the exception of that Knicks game where Jalen Brunson found a way to beat us by himself. We've been looking good. Defensively, we seem to step it up a notch, which I'm always going to be a fan of. And if we continue on this trend, things will look good. A lot of basketball going on tonight. Got a 16 prize picks in, you know what I mean? Wish me luck, y'all. We hit that one. Y'all might not hear a pop for a month. No, I'm kidding. Y'all gonna hear one live on location from somewhere with some water in the background, though. I'll tell you that much. That being said, as much as I had to, you know, piece this episode together, I promise y'all the next one will be a lot more structured, put together, you know, nicely. But it's time to get y'all a Patreon, so I'm gonna get up out of here. And thank y'all as always for tapping in and tuning in. Hold on, man. Let me find some little bit of music for y'all on the way out. What did we do to begin this shit? I think we was doing the beat, right? Sure was, cuz.
When we're in the dark and we're all alone, oh darling.
Shout out my brother Shiny Bo, man. Gave me the cheat code, got me the program. I'm gonna start putting together little intro joints. He's gonna send me something that's, you know, top tier, you know, my producer partners do. And we're gonna get us a little unprofessional as fuck intro that's gonna be solid at least for a full season. In the meantime, in between time, I was gonna do a little something right now, but this is going on the free DSPs. If y'all wanna get some content like that, you definitely gotta tap into the Patreon, www.patreon.com, Unprofessional AF Podcast. Get more out your broadcast. My squad starts playing in about 7 minutes, so you know what I'm up to. And as always, until next time, find what makes you happy and return the favor. I'ma holler at y'all later.
Unprofessional as Fuck Podcast.